Testing. A, B, C, Charlotte, Connor, Alex, prime.
Snacks, m'lady.
Thank you. I haven't eaten all day. I'm starving.
What? Girl, you gotta eat.
Yeah, this one case at work just has me spinning. I obviously can't talk specifics, but I'm constantly moving at work and I'm just exhausted and have had no time to eat today.
Well, let's order food. We can always take a break during recording to eat because, yeah, we don't want you hungry.
Well, we can wait for Connor to order.
Okay, where the hell is he anyway? We were supposed to record like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I know.
I'm gonna call him.
Hi, you've reached Connor. I'm not able to answer the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience. Catch you later. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa.
Ugh, that boy, where is he?
I'm gonna text him. Okay, let's just order, and we'll order for him, and if he doesn't like it, he can just get something from his kitchen.
What you in the mood for?
Let's do tacos?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I lost track of time. I was at a friend's house. I'm really sorry.
I'm surprised you're the one who's late today. You're never late.
I know. And now you're gonna hold it against me for all eternity, aren't you?
Yeah, you know me so well.
What were you doing?
I was just at a friend's house. I'm sorry. I didn't have my phone, and I didn't notice the time. Did you start recording without me?
Of course not. We were just about to order food.
Oh. I already ate.
Well, we're starving, so we're gonna order tacos. Here, you can order first, little Miss Hangry.
Okay, not hangry yet, but getting there for sure.
I could go for a taco.
I thought you already ate.
Yeah, but, I mean, a taco sounds really fucking good right now.
Here, Alex. While Alex is ordering, let's talk about the case before we jump in.
Oh, I'm so excited. You guys have no idea.
About what?
About the story. I mean, I know it's not as thrilling as a murder or a kidnapping.
Would we call that thrilling?
But it's so complex and mysterious, and I really think our listeners are gonna love it.
Speaking of, we have to share our Patreon member of the month on this episode so we don't forget.
Got it written down so I don't forget.
Oh, you're very forgetful.
And you're very late.
Yeah, I'm never gonna escape that one, am I?
No.
Okay, check your levels one more time.
Okay, check, testing. Arrgh, check.
All right, I'll count it down to the jingle in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome back to Primetime Crime Time, the show where we crime junkies explore the nitty-gritty of some weird and mysterious stories. I'm Connor, and as always, I am joined by two vivacious and powerful women, Alex and Charlotte.
Ooh, vivacious. Big word.
Thank you. It's my word of the day.
Wow, good job. How are we feeling today, everyone?
Honestly, pretty good. I had my coffee, did some editing, feeling really productive today. Connor?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I haven't had my tea today, so that is to be expected.
Ah, you and your poor sensitive tummy.
Yep, this little tummy does not do coffee.
Oh. Anyway, we have something really exciting moving on.
Wait, Charlotte, how are you feeling?
Oh, right, I am fine, you know, getting a little hangry, but excited to jump in.
And we're just gonna jump in headfirst to this story, so buckle up, everybody.
Just a reminder to subscribe to our Patreon and Twitter, and thank you to all of our subscribers so far. There's going to be a lot of posts happening in the next week and possibly a bonus episode on Patreon, so definitely subscribe. Also, we're starting to do a Patreon Member of the Month. We'll pick one member to showcase on the podcast each month as a little thank you for constantly supporting us.
And we're going to start this episode with our first Patron of the Month. Congrats to Carly Singray. She's in our top tier on Patreon and week after week gives us her love and support. Thank you so much, Carly. We appreciate it so, so much.
And if you have any story suggestions, please do not forget to DM us. We really love hearing everybody's suggestions, and we really take them into consideration, okay? So give us a story if you want to hear it.
I think that's all the housekeeping, right?
I think it's time to jump on in.
All right. Get ready, everyone, because this is the story of Natalia Grace Barnett.
Who's Natalia Grace, Connor?
I'm glad you asked, Charlotte. To answer that question, we have to start at the beginning with the Barnett family. I'm not doing that whole voice this whole time. Okay, Christine and Michael Barnett lived in Lafayette, Indiana with their three sons, one of whom was Literally, he was a genius.
He has a higher IQ than Einstein.
Yeah, he went to Purdue University at the age of 12 and also went to the Institute of Theoretical Physics at the age of 15.
Jesus, giving Einstein a run for his money. Mm-hmm.
He is autistic as well, and Christine actually wrote a book about all this called The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius and Autism.
She made a lot of money off it, too. The family was very well off thanks to that one book.
Like, could pay full college tuition up front, well off. And they had a big family that they wanted to keep expanding, so money wasn't really an issue for them.
Christine and Michael had some trouble making babies of their own, but they loved children and they were on many adoption lists to adopt a new child into their family. One day, the Barnetts got a call from an orphanage in Florida saying that they had been on the adoption list for a very long time and they were told that a child was in need of being adopted, and they were ecstatic.
Time to get out of bed. Never been that good at lifting your weary head. Oh, for all your smarts, you'd think I could wake you up. It's time to meet your brand new sister.
A new addition to our perfect family. Last night we got the call. Just one day to choose so we couldn't drop the ball.
We just had to say yes. Just think about what a better life we could give her in our perfect family.
I hear Amanda has left town.
Jacob's growing
to get
up so
her
fast.
Orphan from Africa.
As now our family is recast.
You're a better mother.
I won't let him down.
Everyone knows.
I know this is the right thing to do. We've got room and our love to steer.
I know we'll love this girl when she gets here. Function of a system
which is very, very broken.
So we do our best to help.
A little girl has nothing.
Then her first family is bluffing.
So they ring us up to ask.
Of course we'll take her on ourselves. Who knows what they put her through? Who knows what she really needs? Not sure, but I promise her
I'm going to be the perfect mother.
Perfect father.
Come and join our perfect family.
They weren't given much information about the child other than the fact that she was 6 years old and had a Ukrainian birth certificate. They also knew that her previously adoptive family gave her up, but didn't know why.
Yes, get you right off the bat.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was an emergency adoption situation, so they only had like 24 hours to decide and sign all the paperwork and everything, and they didn't really know even why it was an emergency.
Oh, shit. Only 24 hours to decide if you want to adopt a whole other person into your family?
Yeah, I know, and they didn't really have a lot of information on her other than the fact that it's a girl who needs a home.
I wonder if there were other families that were offered Natalia before the Barnetts.
This story is very complex, but it's also missing a lot of details, so...
That's kind of remarkable that you can just, like, open your home and be ready to love a child you don't even know yet, and who is not a baby, but already a person with, like, past life experiences. Yeah, that's just hard to introduce into your home, you know? It's not like a baby that has no memories of what's happened. The girl has probably been through, you know, some shit.
But again, they don't know what she's been through. They just know she needed help.
And so, Christine and Michael Barnett flew to Florida to adopt her in May of 2010. They noticed pretty immediately, though, that Natalia could not walk, which was not in the paperwork, and that she also had a rare form of dwarfism called spondylitis.
Just
tomato.
Just sound it out. You got this.
Oh, yeah. Laugh it up, you two. I bet either of you cannot pronounce this.
No, I'm kidding.
Spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia.
Oh, fuck you. How the fuck do you know that?
Okay, I did my research. Okay, it's a rare form of dwarfism that makes it so your growth is stunted and you have skeletal abnormalities. So keep that in mind, folks. It comes into play later. But Natalia wouldn't grow past 3.5 feet tall.
Fuck off. Not knowing much about this little girl, the Barnetts adopt Natalia and they just bring her home to Lafayette, Indiana, and the journey begins.
The Barnetts thought they were adopting a sweet 6-year-old girl, but they now believe her to be a fully grown-ass adult, trying to kill them.
Oh, yeah. Complete 180.
And the plot of The Orphan.
No way, really?
Yeah. You've never seen the movie?
The trailer just looked dumb to me, so I never watched it.
It's the exact same plot, which I personally believe the Barnetts took information from that movie as inspiration, but we'll get into that later.
Tomato, sorry. I have to take this. Hi, this is Charlotte.
Fuck, we were on a roll.
But now would be the perfect time to make some tea.
Oh, no, no, the moment has passed.
You know, I didn't really do much research on this case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I wanted to hear you tell the story. I know it's your favorite and that you would tell a kick-ass story.
Damn. Thanks, Alex. That means a lot.
Oh, I'm not crying. I just have something
okay,
in my eye.
Okay.
Speaking of, I am going to go check on Char because I do want to get back to the story, though.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Char. You said you would quit.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll call you back later. Okay, bye.
I thought you were done.
Okay, this is the only one I've had today.
Okay, proud of you, but still, you said you were gonna quit, and it's been weeks since then.
Okay, you can't just quit cold turkey. You have to wean yourself off of it. And, you know, work has just been really stressful lately, so I just feel like I deserve it.
Well, please let that be the only one that you have today.
Connor, I have to wean myself
please,
off.
Please, Charlotte, please.
No, I'm not gonna promise anything.
I'm black and I'm blue, chasing after the game. Telling my truth, but I'm taking the blame.
Bowing and scraping for tired old men. No high ground to claim when she'll do it again. People aren't toys. People need air. People will leave you while you're still standing there.
People are reckless and people are cruel. People will love you and then make you their fool.
Little girl lost out here smoking.
Little boy stuck out here hoping.
Little girl can't stop provoking.
Little boy looking for
groping
coping.
For any kind of mechanisms. Char, if you're so goddamn smart,
if you know what you
what's
should
the deal
do,
with your bleeding
why
ass
is everyone
heart?
Fighting
you can
with
stop
you.
It from falling apart.
Well, fine. Can you at least put it out so we can go inside and record the episode?
Yeah, fine.
Two children meet in the schoolyard one day. Talk till the bus comes and takes them away.
Ugh, you smell like smoke.
I know, can we just stop talking about it?
Charlotte, we just care about you, that's all.
Yeah, I just want to record so we can get the episode done.
3, 2, 1.
The Barnetts brought Natalia home and treated her like a normal child, but she had to be carried everywhere because she couldn't walk. Pretty soon after this, the family planned a beach trip, Natalia included. When they got there, Natalia wanted to play in the water, but the parents were like, not right now, we just drove a long way, we're tired. Of course, they didn't say that, but something similar. They just wanted to put their stuff down and get settled before going into the water, but Natalia could not wait for them. She immediately got up and started sprinting toward the water. Sprinting.
Huh. Thought she can walk.
She supposedly can, but nowhere in her paperwork does it say that she cannot walk.
Oh, a sneaky, sneaky little girl.
So this is the first of many odd things that started happening once they brought Natalia home. Christine would babysit a lot, and Natalia would always say things like, ugh, these kids are exhausting, according to Christine. Like, she would be talking and acting like an adult, and apparently she had, like, a really big vocabulary.
Which is... I mean, I don't know, that's kind of funny to me. Like, imagine a 6-year-old saying that kids are exhausting and just having, like, this, like, old man mentality. Like, next she's gonna start saying shit like, get off my lawn.
If only Christine found it funny. So one night, Christine went to bathe Natalia and saw that she had, pubic hair.
Well, I don't know, I feel like I got pubes pretty early.
I mean, me too, but not, like, a full set of pubes.
As opposed to, like, what, like a half pube? Like, half,
okay.
A half set of pubes?
Anyway, she also didn't like toys, but big deal, I didn't like toys either.
Oh, were you a puzzle girl?
I was.
Mm. And a sports girl. I remember we used to play kickball a lot growing up, and Char got real competitive.
Oh, that's no surprise. She's still very competitive.
Oh, whatever. I mean, I'm gonna win. Anyway, Christine also claimed that Natalia didn't have a Ukrainian accent and didn't know any Ukrainian.
Well, that's totally understandable if you leave the country as a baby. Like, say she is 6 years old. How would she have retained any Ukrainian?
Maybe like a word or two. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, five-year-olds can have like full-on conversations.
Well,
though.
Okay, but she, like, wasn't she with a family in America before the Barnetts?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like she would have retained a decent amount of Ukrainian, even for a six-year-old. I don't know. The details are all kind of fuzzy, but Christine also noticed that Natalia never grew the entire time she was with them.
She had dwarfism.
Yeah, but, well, if a six-year-old, like, she would still be growing until she reached the height that she couldn't grow past, right? Which is 3.5 feet. Like, she was already at her maximum height, which means she was already fully grown.
And that's not something they'd immediately notice if she looked and acted like a child.
And at this point, they don't believe that Natalia is really 6 years old. Christine found blood-stained clothing that was thrown into the trash, and it made her believe that Natalia had had her period and was trying to hide it.
Which... okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Girls can get their periods at a very young age, before their teen years. I got mine when I was 9.
11.
Yeah.
Right, so I believe Natalia totally could have gotten her period.
Yeah, but at 6?
I mean, it's entirely possible. It can be brought on by abnormal hormones or stress, and she probably has had a lot of stressful events in her life.
But a full set of pubes with a period... I don't know. I believe she's maybe a teenager, but not 6 years old.
Well, we can get into theories and stuff later, but at this point, too many weird things have happened, and the Barnetts decide they're going to get a bone density scan of Natalia to determine her age. So, at this time, in 2010, the scan says that she was a teenager, so at least 13 to 14 years old.
Whoa, so I was right.
Well, how accurate are these bone density scans if the patient has a literal bone abnormality? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do another bone density test in 2010, and that one comes back saying that she's 8 years old. But regardless, the Barnetts believe the first bone density test to be the true one, and so they start to treat Natalia more like an adult, or, well, I guess like a teenager.
So this is where things get dark.
Yeah, between 2011 and 2012, things started to get a little bit violent, or so the Barnetts claim.
Yeah, so at first they claim that Natalia attacked another child in the house, which they heard on a baby monitor.
Attacked how?
I don't know. Again, there aren't really a lot of details in the case. Christine just claims that she heard Natalia attack another child while babysitting or running a daycare that she did a few times out of her house.
Seems really violent right off the bat.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Natalia started to draw pictures of her family.
Aw.
Of her wanting to kill her family.
I take back my aw.
And these pictures haven't been released.
Not much has been released, but I also wasn't able to find a lot of information on the trial or anything,
well,
so...
that's frustrating.
Extremely.
Next on the wheel of weird things Natalia did to her family, Christine and Michael would wake up to Natalia holding a knife over them, just staring.
I will call Child Protective Services right then and there.
One morning, Christine caught Natalia trying to pour something in her drink, and when she asked Natalia what she was doing, she just responded, "I'm trying to poison you." Like, she flat out just said that.
What was she pouring in our coffee? Do we know?
Bleach, Windex, some kind of cleaning product. Different sources say different things, but we know it was some kind of cleaning product.
Damn, that's bold.
Right, like, try to hide it a little. Jesus.
Jesus! Jeez, that scared me!
Tomato.
It's probably our food. Come in!
Oh! Hi, I'll be right out.
Connor, what the fuck is Mitchell doing here?
I don't know. I didn't ask him to come or anything like that ever.
Go see what he wants.
What are you doing? Drilling.
What's he saying?
I don't know. Shh.
Charlotte, stop.
Okay, they can't see me through the peephole.
They're talking about listening in on a recording today.
Ooh, that boy better not let Mitchell come inside. We are not recording with him here. Oh, okay, he's coming back in.
What was that all about?
Nothing. He was just saying hi.
Why?
I don't know, because he wanted to. I told him I was in the middle of recording, and I said I couldn't talk.
Come on, that's really weird, Connor.
He was just saying hi. That's what friends do.
That's what texts are for.
Okay, well, he's old-fashioned.
Then call.
I think that you just need to hang out with him and give him a chance.
Fat chance of that happening.
Okay, well, then can we just get back to recording? Because we don't have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, where did we leave off?
We were talking about Natalia doing weird things like poisoning her mom's coffee.
Right, we were on Natalia trying to kill her family.
Fun. So, again, at this point, Christine and Michael are... Basically, they're treating Natalia like she's older now, like she's a teenager. And remember, she was hiding bloodstained clothes in the trash?
Who could forget?
Well, now she's straight up smearing blood and other, bodily fluids, smearing it all over the walls and the mirrors, like completely going bonkers.
She also tried to jump out of moving cars.
What?
Oh.
Now, we didn't know if any of this is true. This is just Christine's claims.
That's like hurting herself, not her family. So I don't know. There's definitely something else going on in that house to make her act like this.
Or, I don't know, it could just be teenage defiance.
I mean, that's assuming she was a teenager.
She also tried to push Christine into an electric fence.
Where in the world would there be an electric fence around them in Indiana? Well, like farms, yeah, but like in suburban Indiana?
And they never wrote about them having like a dog or anything.
Right, like... Why were you near one to begin with?
That's the thing. This is just, it's a crazy story to make up, and I don't know about you guys, but I would never think about electric fences, let alone think about it enough to make up a story about being pushed into one.
Exactly.
And so it was after this incident that Christine claims Natalia's mental health has just started to deteriorate, so they check her into St. Vincent's Indianapolis Stress Center, and hopefully they can figure out what's going on with her. She was in and out for a while, but she stayed with them for a good chunk of time, about a year.
Oh my gosh, like, this girl doesn't have enough problems? She's an orphan who's been bounced around from family to family. We don't know what's really happened to her in her life, and then she gets sent to a mental institution?
They didn't know what to do. The Barnetts were just trying to help her.
And it was here, in January 2012, that Natalia admitted to being 18 years old.
No way.
Way.
They did extensive tests on her, and doctors concluded that Natalia had many mental illnesses consistent with people in their late teens and early adulthood. We don't know if this was before or after she admitted to being 18, but they did treat her for a myriad of illnesses.
But because she's admitted to professionals that she was 18 years old, it's documented in her health records.
Oh, that sucks.
I wonder if she admitted to being 18 so that she could get out.
Well, if that's why, it didn't work, because she stayed there even after she admitted being 18.
Right. Okay, so they did a skeletal survey in 2012, which is different than the previous bone density tests, and Natalia's age came back as 11 years old, making her actually 8 years old at the time of the first bone density scan.
Okay, so the parents don't know what to think at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely 2-1 here.
Yeah.
2 scans saying that she's a child, and 1 saying she's a teenager. Regardless, none of the scans say she's a full-blown adult.
But again, she admitted to healthcare professionals that she was 18, so they have to document that somewhere.
Ugh, yikes.
So the Barnetts now have enough information at this point to legally change her age, and the courts had enough information too, I guess, because in June of 2012, the Marion County Supreme Court legally changes Natalia's birth year from 2003, right, to 1989, which makes her 22 years old legally at this time.
Where did 1989 come from? She admitted to being 18, not 22. It's like they just pulled a year out of thin air.
Yeah, the court based it off of her medical records, so I guess they had to have had some information.
Well, what are you guys' thoughts on her age?
I'm slightly leaning towards Team Barnett.
Really?
Not in the sense of, like, I thought Natalia was trying to kill them or defraud them or anything, but I definitely think she was older than she claimed to be, because picking 1989 for her birth year just seems, like, too crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think she knew her real age.
Really? How do you mean?
Well, like, I mean, she was bounced around to different orphanages, always being told how old she was, and all the tests they did on her came back saying different ages. So what if Natalia really didn't know how old she was and was just, like, acting how everyone told her how to act? I just think, like, she might have been a little confused.
But there's enough medical information to prove that she's older. Now, I'm not saying she was 22 years old, but I think the truth lies somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think she was definitely older than 6, but I'd say I'm on Alex's side here, yeah.
There are no sides. They're just opinions.
Okay, right. Well, then I don't think that Natalia was 6 years old, but she's also definitely not 22 either. Like, that's kind of a lot. That means when they adopted her in 2010, she would have been like 20 or 21, which is extreme. I don't think she was actually like a full-blown adult.
You'd think you'd be able to tell if someone was an adult, like, you know, could take care of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean she was clueless in everything she was doing.
No, you didn't mean that.
I just think she didn't really know how old she actually was. Also, if there were mental health issues going
on. Exactly. Yeah. And that could be part of it. I just think she was definitely an adult.
Even when they adopted her?
Maybe like 16 or 17 when they adopted her. I believe she was telling the truth that she was 18 years old when she was at St. Vincent's.
I kind of think so too, actually, yeah.
But I believe some of what both of them are saying. Not like the extra bits about pushing someone into an electric fence, but her having pubes and a period, I 100% believe.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Regardless of what we think, Christine believed that Natalia had to be an adult and told her that she should start acting like an adult. She even told all of her friends and family, everyone she could. She told them Natalia was 22.
Even if Natalia was 22, she's instilling this idea into her that she needs to start acting a certain way, start caring for herself. But what if she couldn't? What if her mental and physical health was too disabling?
Oh, and remember the genius son that they have? Well, the year now is 2013, and he is one of the youngest kids to be accepted into the Institute of Theoretical Physics.
But here's the kicker. The school is in Ontario, Canada.
And at this time, the Barnetts, or at least Christine, fully believe that Natalia's an adult, and they didn't really want to care for her anymore. They kind of just expected her to live on her own, start her own life, like an adult life without them, but this is where things start to get a little tricky.
At first, they placed her in assisted living, but pretty quickly, she got kicked out. And again, we don't really know why.
I would love to know why she got kicked out.
Yeah.
The Barnetts were moving to Canada to be with their son, who is now attending college, but they weren't planning on bringing Natalia with them.
Right, so not really knowing what else to do, the Barnetts set her up with everything that she needed to live on her own. They set her up with social security benefits, food stamps, disability income, health insurance. They gave her an apartment that they paid the rent on for an entire year up front, along with all the other potential apartment bills. Like, they set her up.
Yeah, and then Natalia completely cut off communication with them.
Like, they moved and never heard from Natalia again?
Kind of, but not really. So about a year later, they got a call that Natalia changed the social security benefactor from Michael Barnett to someone new, someone they didn't know. So I guess she was moving on and had a new family.
But it is confirmed that she was living by herself for a while. So she started taking adult ed classes at Lafayette Resource Academy. Like, there are transcripts and records from the college that Natalia attended. She went there.
Yeah, and you had to be a certain age to get into these classes. Before enrolling, they would make you take a placement test. And if you weren't at an 18-year-old's education level, then they would have you work with a tutor until you could get to that level. So if she wasn't 18 years old, she had to have at least been, you know, at an 18-year-old's education level, which is insane if she was actually 6 when they adopted her.
Yeah, that's hard to fake.
Yeah, we don't know if she passed the test on her first try, or I guess maybe she worked with a tutor. She could have, but she did attend the classes at this college.
That's crazy. So it really seemed like she could live on her own.
I wonder if her disabilities affected how well she functioned day to day.
Yeah, me too. But she was living on her own for a while before moving in with this other family.
Well, we do know she's living with this new Christian family that seems to really love her a lot. And they tried to legally adopt her, but they couldn't because legally Natalia is an adult.
And that's where this whole case started. Christine and Michael Barnett were arrested in September 2019 and charged with neglect of a dependent. They faced a $10,000 fine and 5 years in jail. They were released on $5,000 bail.
Each?
Each.
Wow.
And in the years between 2013 and 2019, Michael and Christine got divorced for unknown reasons. So they had to have separate lawyers in the trial.
If she was legally an adult, what classifies a dependent?
Anyone with a physical or mental disability, no matter the age. At least that's the law in Indiana. It might be different in other states, but yeah.
But with her new family, everything seems peachy. No complaints against Natalia. They just love her so much and basically adopted her into the family.
But when the Barnetts adopted her, they took on that responsibility as a parent, and it makes me sad that they kind of just dropped her.
I mean, they really think that this girl was an adult trying to kill them. Like, they really thought this girl scammed them. So,
look, if she was truly an adult when they moved, It still wouldn't have been fine because Natalia couldn't drive, get to the store, or reach the top cabinets. She still had a physical disability that hindered her quality of life.
Yeah. I want to know how she found this new family.
Ah, yeah, me too.
A lot of details in this case aren't announced or released to the public. But during the trial in 2019, Natalia went on Dr. Phil with her new adoptive family and spoke her side of the story against the Barnetts.
Yes, and we'll be putting that YouTube link on our Patreon and Twitter so you can watch the video too.
Yeah, so she explained that she's a 16-year-old girl that didn't try to kill or scam anyone. She didn't try to scam her family. She doesn't know why they treated her the way that they did, and she doesn't remember any bone density scans that were taken in 2010 or 2012. And she's seen crying in this video as her adoptive parents just say nothing but good things about her. And Dr. Phil starts pointing out the inconsistencies of the case, and Natalia denies everything, and she says that the Barnett's claims are bogus.
I don't know. When you watch the video, you really truly feel for Natalia because it seems like she's telling the truth, and she has a family to back her up.
It is really hard to decide who's right and who's wrong in this case.
I know. So the trial was put on hold during, you know, coronavirus and everything, but it's picked up again in August of 2020 when it finally went to trial. Drum roll, please. A judge dismissed all the charges against the Barnetts, deciding that the charges weren't applicable to the case because another judge had determined Natalia's birth year to be 1989, so the court records superseded the actual case. And also, the statute of limitations was exceeded before the charges were filed.
Oh, so Christina and Michael just got off.
Yeah, just got off on all charges.
Which is just shitty because, like we said, it's still neglect of a dependent according to Indiana.
The prosecutor took the case to the Court of Appeals, but they held up the judge's decision to not charge the Barnetts. And then they were going to take it to the Indiana Supreme Court. But we haven't heard any information on that, so...
Yeah, so today, Natalia is legally 33 years old and claims to be 19, making her born in 2003 and not 1989, as, you know, the records show.
And that's our show today, folks. We love hearing your opinions, so we want to know how old you think Natalia actually is. So find us at Primetime Crime Time Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the platforms.
And thank you again to all of our Patreon subscribers. The support from this community is unreal, and we really appreciate each and every one of you.
This is Primetime Crime Time with Connor,
Alec,
and Charlotte.
Talk to you next week.
I really enjoyed the story this week, Connor.
Yeah, it was something different, but, you know, keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Well, I'm glad I got to nerd out with you both.
Don't say that like it's a rarity. You do that all the time with no shame.
Yeah, well, so do you.
Yep, and with no shame.
Where are you going?
Outside.
Char, come on. You promised you'd only smoke one today.
I didn't promise anything, if I remember correctly.
You were doing so good a few weeks ago, and then that asshole got promoted, and now you're just spiraling.
Okay, so what if that asshole got promoted before me? I'm over it.
Oh, clearly.
Well, I'm sorry. It's the only time I have to get away and relax for 2 seconds before going back into this shitty-ass world.
Our podcast isn't shitty.
No, that's not what I'm saying. My job is just really stressful right now, and smoking one or two cigarettes a day...
You were down to smoking no cigarettes a day, and you felt so much better.
Please don't interrupt me.
Char, we notice a difference in you. You're more irritable, and you're short-tempered, and you're tired. I don't like seeing you like this.
Okay, do you ever stop to think that maybe it's my job making me more irritable and tired? Okay, why do you have to blame everything on the cigs?
Because the convo is about cigs, Charlotte. We want you to quit.
We?
Yeah, Char.
Yeah. Great. I didn't know this was an intervention.
It's not. We want you to quit, like you wanted a few weeks ago.
Well, thanks, but, you know, no thanks. It's not like I'm smoking a pack a day.
Yeah, we know, but again, you wanted to quit a few weeks ago, and we wanted you to as well, so can you just do it for us?
Who's that, Connie?
It doesn't matter.
It's Mitchell, isn't it?
Does it matter? We're friends.
Okay, I just can't get over the stuff he did in high school.
But... I've gotten to know him now, and he's changed a lot, and I just think that if you guys took the time to hang out with him, that you would see that too.
Connie, he came into our recording today.
Oh, it's not like he followed me or anything. We were hanging out right before this, and he knew...
You were hanging out with him?
Because he needs a friend. He's nice.
Okay, you're just making it seem like we're not enough for you.
Why can I only hang out with just the two of you and have no other friends?
You can.
You're not even giving... giving him a chance. You're writing him off and you haven't even met him.
He is bad news, Connor.
And your smoking is bad news, Charlotte.
All right, can we just calm down for a second? We just want what's best for you.
Are you talking to me or Connor?
Both of you. We all just want what's best for each other, even if that means it's something hard that you have to do. Cut off friends, quit smoking, whatever. But what we say matters.
Well, you're right. What you say does matter. And what you're saying to me is that you don't care about my feelings or my opinions or anything in this situation.
Where are you going?
I'm going to a friend's.
To Mitchell's.
Yeah, I am. You want to come? Thought so.
Just let him go. We'll talk to him tomorrow when things are cooled down.
Okay, where the fuck is our goddamn food? Where is Connor? He's late again.
Probably at Mitchell's.
Again?
How are you gonna be late to your own house?
I don't know. I don't like this. It's just, I just feel a little abandoned here.
I'm sure he'll be here soon.
I'm gonna call him.
Hi, you've reached Connor. I'm not able to answer the phone right now, but
I'm sure he'll be here soon.
Yeah, you said that. That boy.
Let's just set up the mics in the meantime.
Fine. Alex.
Sorry. One second. Let me turn it down. Okay, go ahead.
Testing. Where the fuck is Connor? Testing.
Perfect. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. I think we're good. Would you mind testing Connor's mic for him? That way we can jump into recording as soon as he gets here.
Yep. Testing. 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna kill that boy. Testing.
Good thing he can't hear you.
Oh, I'll say it to his face.
All right, little hothead. Let's calm down for a minute. Have some snacks.
Yeah, you're right. This does help.
Right? What is it?
Connor bailing on us.
What? Can I see? Hey, guys. Sorry I haven't been responding. I booked a last-minute trip and will be gone for a little bit. Have fun recording.
What the fuck kind of text is that?
This is completely out of character for him.
He doesn't text us in a week, is late to our recording, and then texts us that he's not coming? Okay, I didn't think our argument was that bad.
Maybe we hit a nerve. Charlotte, who are you calling?
Hi, Andrew. This is Charlotte. Yeah, I know you're at work right now. No. We got into the house fine. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing okay. How are you? No. He's not. That's actually why I'm calling. He's not here at the house. Did he tell you where he was going? Did he tell you how long? Great. No, he's not with us. Cool. Well, I'll let you know if I hear anything. Yeah, he told his dad the same thing. No details or anything.
What the hell has gotten into that boy?
I don't know, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Charlotte, let's try to call him first.
Okay, we tried that already and it didn't work. He's not gonna pick up.
Well, I don't know who we can ask to try to track him down. Like, it's us and his family.
And Mitchell.
We are not going to Mitchell.
We're going to Mitchell's. Come on, Alex. I'm sure he knows where Connor is. It's worth a shot of asking.
Fine, whatever, you win. Let's go ask Mitchell.
Let's just focus on finding Connor.